We've not yet met. My name is Nolan. Thank you. Good morning. And I am the family pastor here at Faithy. And it is a privilege to serve your families here at Faithy. Hey, I'd love to show you a little picture of my family. This is a picture of my wife and my kiddos here. And so there's my beautiful wife, Alicia. And snuggled up next to her is Rainer, who's just turned one this past month. And then there below is Elsie and Truett. Elsie's five and Truett is three. And we like to say this, that life is never boring in our house. And that truly is true. So, hey, I want to take a moment just to give you a family ministry update. A lot has been going on in our Faithy families. And since September 7th, since we launched into the fall, we have had 58 new families attend here at Faithy. That's a ton of new. Yeah, we can applaud that. That's a ton of new families. And so what this means for us, church, is that we have new people walking in the doors every single Sunday. So if there's an unfamiliar face, I would encourage you to get to meet someone you might not know and to be able to get to know them. And hey, one of the really cool things that I hear over and over again from all the new families that I get to call and minister to is that, hey, Faithy is a welcoming church. So well done, Faithy. Good job. Way to keep it up. Let's keep that going. And with that is a really cool opportunity, as Paul had mentioned, an opportunity for a third service. So with the growth, we've seen the need to add a third service. So 8, 9:30, and 11 will be those new service times. And if you're looking to say, hey, maybe it's your time to jump in the game here, we have an opportunity because we're going to duplicate all of those services with the same thing. We're going to provide kids classes, preschool, nursery. And so if you are interested in jumping in the game to say, hey, now is my time to jump in and to serve in kids ministry, I'm the guy you want to talk to and would love to have that conversation with you. As Paul mentioned, you can tap the chair in front of you to get more information on how to serve and how to be a part and how to serve an application. So yeah, I would love to have you jump in. What a cool opportunity to say, hey, I'm ready. With that is the opportunity that I get, the opportunity to teach our fourth and fifth graders. So we actually do the OIA that you guys are learning in service. We do that with our kids. And so this past week, last Sunday, the kids had the opportunity to take what they had learned in the Gospel of Mark and put it into action through a skit for our kids, younger kids, K through third grade. And what a cool thing to see them take what they've learned and to then be able to tell the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. As we had journeyed through Mark with these fourth and fifth graders. And so it was really cool to get to see them take that step. And I even challenged them. I said, hey, now I want you to gather up in your groups and I want you to say, hey, what are some things that you learned from the Gospel of Mark with the kids that are younger than them, and then pray over them. And that was so encouraging to see them take that step of bold faith to learn how to read, study, but also share the Word of God. And that truly is our desire here at Faithy, that your kids would know the Word of God, that by the time they're in sixth grade, they're prepared to be able to go into middle school knowing the Word of God is alive and active in their life as well. And really, one of the cool things that I've inherited from Jim Yealy, who taught the fourth and fifth grade class for so many years, was this Bible reading challenge. Check this out, guys. Our kids have been challenged to read the Bible every day, 5 days a week. And you've heard this at Faithy, that if you're in the Word of God 4 days or more, transformation begins to take place. And one of the cool things is we tell them, hey, if you missed a day, don't make up a verse that you read, but actually, you know, go in and read the next day. And so how cool is it that some of our kids are tracking verse by verse through books of the Bible and Acts, 1 Samuel, Psalms. I know one kid specifically, I picked up his Bible and noticed that he had been reading through the whole Gospel of John, writing and highlighting verses, and I looked at his prayer challenge that he brought in that week, and he was reading through the Gospel of John. How cool is this that our kids are learning to read and study the Bible on their own and in their own time? That right there is really cool. And so as we wrap up this Unwrapped series, I wanted to look at a sermon on deeply biblical. It's one of the values you see here at Faithy is deeply biblical. Deep questions, deep truth, and deep roots. And I want to draw your attention to the screen, what is on our church website under that deeply biblical section. It says this, that tough questions deserve better answers than trending opinions or shallow cliches. At Faithy, we believe the Bible isn't outdated, that it's a word you can trust. It's timeless. It's our go-to source for truth. It doesn't change. It doesn't shift when life gets messy. No, Scripture isn't something we skim to feel better. It's something we dive into to challenge our assumptions and to clarify our confusions and to inspire real change. We're here for conversations that matter and truth that sticks and growth that lasts. That's deeply biblical. That's what I hope you experience here at Faith each and every week. I want to begin with this question, though, and I will admit that it's kind of a personal question, is what would happen if you went through life not equipped? What would happen if you went through life not equipped? Maybe currently speak it of yourself as, are you currently going through life feeling unequipped? May it never be said that I was not equipped for my job, that I was unequipped for my marriage, that I was not equipped to parent and raise up my children. Was I not equipped to disciple a neighbor, a coworker, or a friend? Maybe this past year has been a challenging year for you, and you felt like in 2025 you were not equipped. And you're hoping that as you move into 2026 that you can go through life feeling more equipped. But maybe one of the most devastating things that could be said is if you went through your life and you said, I was not equipped. Well, I've got great news for you guys. The Word of God gives us this promise in our passage today that we're going to look at. And it says that the servant of God, the man of God, will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you can, grab your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's on your bulletins. We're going to put it on the screen. It's on page 1028. Second Timothy chapter 3. We're going to look at two verses today, 16 and 17. This might be a familiar one, maybe one you've already put into practice and memorization. But I thought it would be great if we read this aloud together in one voice. So if you could, let's actually stand. I want to do this Lonnie's way. Stand up. This is good. Thanks, Lonnie. It's good to stretch our legs too. All right, so in one voice, let's read this. Let's put this on the screens. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. It says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your words come from the very breath of God, spoken to us, spoken for us. And God, we thank you that you are a God who works. Speak today. Our servants are listening. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can have a seat. A couple observations that I see there is that God breathed. This is really cool. It's the only time mentioned in the Bible this way in which it says that scripture is God breathed. So we're going to look at that a little bit. Then we get four things that the word of God is used for: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And then we get this great promise that comes right here, is that we will be equipped for every good work. You know, the Apostle Paul was writing this to Timothy. And Timothy was an amazing young leader who was rising up an amazing church and leading the people in the church of Ephesus at the time. And Paul wanted Timothy to be convinced and to continue in what he had been taught throughout his life and to continue in the ways that he had instructed him. And it's really cool. At the very beginning of 2 Timothy, this is the way Paul addresses Timothy. He says, my dear son, my dear son. Like writing to his own son, he a mentor, Paul had journeyed with Timothy. We hear that Timothy had great faith because of his mom and grandmother. We don't hear much about Timothy's father at all. But Paul addresses him as dear son. And man, what a pivotal time in Timothy's life to receive such letter. It was perceived that potentially that Timothy would have received this letter in 68 AD, potentially after even hearing that Paul had already been killed and martyred for the faith. So truly, death and life were on the line here. Life and death were on the line here. And a thought that went through my mind is, would Timothy continue? We find out later on that he was martyred for the faith, and we know that he did, but it was a pivotal time in his life that he received this letter. And I, too, received a letter at a pivotal time in my life that I want to bring to us today. It'll also be on the screens, but it begins this way. Dear son, you'll never know how much it means to me seeing your desire to go to Vida Nueva this weekend. The most exciting and important thing in a parent's life is to see their children come to accept Christ in their hearts and lives, and then to put it into action. I pray that what you have received this weekend has been a defining moment in your Christ walk, and I hope that it will be remembered as a turning point in your life. Nolan, the Lord has blessed you with a wonderful heart, a love for others, and tremendous talents and abilities, and a strong desire to serve him. He will give you direction and sufficient strength and godly wisdom to make the right choices if you let him. That letter was at a pivotal time in my life because I was at a weekend retreat called Central Tennessee Vida Nueva, and Vida Nueva in Spanish means new life. Little did I realize that new life was going to happen that weekend. And that night before I received this letter, I had the opportunity to get on my hands and knees and to come face to face with a cross. And it was at that cross that I began to nail down my sins. And it was at that cross that I began to believe that the old was gone and that the new was here in my life. It was in that moment that I accepted Christ in my life. It was a turning point, as my dad had hoped it would have been in my life. And I was sitting there that Sunday afternoon, the next day, and I was flipping through these letters, and there was a bag full of letters. But at the bottom of the bag, there was this Bible, this little Bible. And I began to read this every single day, at breakfast, on the car ride to school, in between classes, before and after basketball practice, before bed. And I began to read it and use it, commit to it, to read this Bible. And apparently I finished it because I wrote down, Nolan finished the whole New Testament, February 07 to May 2007. And I finished reading this Bible. It was a New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs. But this right here, guys, is what we're looking at today. The Word of God is valuable, and it's important, and we need to make a daily commitment to spend with the Word of God. One of the first verses that I put to memorization was Psalm 119, 105, which says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And that's what we're going to look at today, how God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And so where does God's Word come from? Let's continue. It says this, that all Scripture is God-breathed. All right, what does that mean, God-breathed? Well, it means what it sounds like. In the Greek, it's got this word, this root word, pneuma, which means breath. It means that this specifically is the very lungs and breath of God speaking to us. Now, why might this be important? Is because I believe this is true, that when God speaks, action takes place, right? When God speaks, things begin to happen. In the creation, when God said, "Let there be light," there was what? Light, and action happened. When God said, "Let there be land," there was what? Land. Action took place. When God said, "Let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness," there was Adam. And it was in the creation of man that God knelt down in the dust and the dirt, and he formed man. And then what did he do, guys? He breathed life into it. And in that moment, life existed. In that moment, life began. And God breathes life into your lungs through the very breath of God, through his word. That's how he speaks to us. That's how he communicates to us. In our prayer time yesterday, someone had said, "Man, isn't the word of God like an amazing love letter to you?" It really is. It's this beautiful letter written to you. The Bible we hold in our hands is from God, but it was written to people in the time that it was written for. But here's what we can learn. It's from God, and it's used for God. And so today I want to journey through these four things that the Word of God is used for, and how these can be used to equip us in life and for all of life circumstances. So we have teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Throughout the message, I'll give you four simple words that you can do to remember this, but let's put up a roadmap of how we're going to travel today. I tried to draw this, guys, and I'm not a great drawer, so thankfully Matt made a digital copy of this for me. But this is us traveling our orange car, go Tennessee. I like orange, my favorite color. But anyways, we're traveling God's way, all right? And we're going to travel this road today as we begin. But let's start with the word teaching. Teaching, God's word shows us what is true. We've been looking at this unwrapped series about how this is a word that you can trust. It is true, and it instructs and it educates us. It's where we get the idea of our doctrine, right? And the ways of which God wants us to live. To give you a simple word, you can write the word no in, or know is a great way to remember this. This helps us remember that we need to allow scriptures to teach us and make it known to us. One of the processes of teaching is to allow it to become a part of your everyday life, to never get dulled out by learning and being taught by scriptures. All right, and one of the things that teaching leads to is wisdom. It's how right before this, Paul mentions to Timothy that it is teaching, that is the Holy Scriptures will make you wise for salvation. It is God's wisdom that speaks to us. I want you to come back next week as we journey through the book of Ecclesiastes. That's the next book we're going to study. So starting next Sunday, we're going to study through the book of Ecclesiastes. And it's a powerful book, and I want to encourage you, one of the cool things with God's word is to be able, before you study it, is to read through it all the way. So here's a challenge for you, Faithy, to spend next week reading through all 12 chapters of Ecclesiastes. But not too long ago, my wife and I were leading the young adult ministry, and we had the opportunity to go through the book of Ecclesiastes last spring with our young adults. And there was one verse that specifically struck a chord in my heart. And it was Ecclesiastes 2, verse 25, and it says that without him, without God, it is meaningless. It's like a chasing of the wind. And so we're going to be looking at that, Ecclesiastes, a chasing after, and we're going to fill in some blanks of what those might be. But what is it that you're chasing after that God is speaking to you? This next series is going to be an awesome opportunity to learn how wisdom is a form of teaching. And it's in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 9 through 12, that we see such wisdom leads from teaching. And with the scriptures, it says this, "Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through wisdom, your days will be many, and your years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. But here's the kicker, if you are a mocker, you alone will suffer." So wisdom is the result of wise counseling and teachings from the scriptures. And as we study the word of God, it will educate us in the text and make us wise for our life. It will equip us in our life. Parents, I think of this passage as one as should just be an important one in the household. But Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9, known as the Shema. Right here, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. These commandments I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. Here's the really cool thing, guys, is the word of God. It doesn't just stay here in this building. It just doesn't stay in your home. It goes with you everywhere you go. And that is our challenge, is to continue in what God has taught us in scriptures, to make God's word available and known everywhere. And as we do that, it is really cool to see how God's word through his teachings equip us in life. Right before this passage, Paul also mentions to Timothy how from infancy he has known the Holy Scriptures has been made known to you. Parents, it's a calling in our lives to live the way that God has for us and to live out that calling of God's word in and through our lives. But here's the problem, and there's a problem that we all face with this, is that we all have sin in our life. We all have a sin nature in our life. And it's that problem with sin that oftentimes gets us off track. So if we could pull that roadmap up from no, I now want to move our car to stop, which this is where rebuking takes place, because God's word shows us what is wrong. Isaiah says, "We are all like sheep that have gone astray. Each has turned to our own way. We've turned to our own way." And now this is where God uses the scriptures to rebuke us, which means to shine light, to expose light to. It's where darkness and lies and ungodliness meets the truth of God's word, and it reveals a place in our lives where sin is. And that truly is what rebuking means and does. Going back to that weekend retreat, I was in ninth grade that year, and I had had the opportunity to sit around a table the night before, or that night that I gave my life to Christ. and they turned all the lights off in the house, and we had given a candle, a mirror, two mirrors and a candle. So one of us was supposed to have the mirror without the candle, and the other was supposed to have the mirror with the candle. And as we went around the table, we passed this candle and this mirror beside each other. And I had the mirror without the candle, and I remember looking at myself and very faintly being able to see that there was something there. But I was asked, if you could sit down with God right now, what have you been keeping and hidden in darkness that you would want to tell him? And I began to think about what those things might be. And after a minute had passed, the person passed the mirror and the candle, and my face lit up. I could see every pimple, every marking on my face. But I remember looking at myself in the mirror, and for the first time, I had an honest conviction with my sin. And I looked at myself in the mirror, and I could see what I had been trying to keep in darkness and hidden all these times. Kids, in your bags, I gave you a little mirror, a little dry erase marker, and a candle. And I want you to use that as a reminder. And I thought we'd take time today to sit and to reflect on this. So I have a mirror that I'm going to pull out here. And if we could dim those lights, that would be awesome. And on this mirror are a list of things that I think often times than not, we try to leave these things in darkness. We try to hide the things in our life that we want no one else to know. One of the things that I know I struggle with, that I try to leave in darkness and hidden, is my anger. And oftentimes than not, we try to hide from these things. So church, I want to take a moment, and I just want to stop for 30 seconds, and I want you to reflect. If you could sit here with God, what would he want to bring to light in your life? So take a moment and stop, and let's just reflect on that today. We can bring those lights back up. The scripture tells us in James, do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourself, but do what it says. For anyone who listens to the word and does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, will be blessed by what they do. It was in that moment when I had that candle in front of me that I could hear God's still small voice speaking to me, and it's speaking to you right now. And he was saying, I'm not done with the person in the mirror. I still love you deeply. And that is true, that God still loves us. Even in despite of our struggles, even in despite of the things that we do. Because this battle that we are faced with it's the spiritual battle we face in life is not of flesh and blood, right? It's of the evil forces, spiritual forces of evil. And the armor of God, this is cool. The only offensive weapon that the armor of God gives us is what? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And it's in Hebrews chapter 4, 12 and 13 that it gives us a good description of what the word of God is like. That for the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Say that again. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before him to whom we must give an account. We cannot hide from sin. God wants to bring it to light, and Scripture will help rebuke us in a way that stops us, and it will convict our heart that we need change, and we need to change the way that our thoughts and attitudes of our heart are. So if you have sin in your life, I don't want you to delay dealing with it. I want you to deal with it and bring it to light and take it to God and talk to him about it. Let's look at the next thing. So as Scripture stops us, shows us what is wrong, now Scripture begins to change us, and it shows us what is right. The third thing that Scripture is used for is that God's word is useful for correcting. It's correction is not just stopping a bad behavior, but it's learning the way to live the way that Jesus taught us, and therefore Scripture realigns us back to God's truth, to what we know. And I believe these roads in our life are many. Don't you think so? These lives in our these where times that we go our own way are many. And I specifically remember a time in my life that I kept going down one road over and over again, one sin over and over again. Does anyone relate to me there, struggling with a sin, repeated sin? I know I'm there. And it was my freshman year of college at Western Kentucky University, and I was at a Bible study, a crew Bible study, Campus Crusades for Christ. And it was in that Bible study in my dorm room that I was with a bunch of guys, and I decided that I was going to tell them this repeated sin that I kept having in my life. And as I shared that with them, they encouraged me to go talk to the campus pastor. And so I went to the campus pastor to go meet with him. He was the campus pastor over Western Kentucky's campus for crew. And I walked into his office, and if I could show it to you today, I would. It was like a wall full of shelves of books, books everywhere. And this big wooden desk in the middle of it, and this man behind it, it was intimidating. And I was like, I wanted to walk out the door the other way. But I walked up to this guy, I don't even remember his name. I walked up to this guy, and I began to share the things in my life that I was struggling with. And as I was midway through, the first thing I was saying, he stopped me and he said, "Son, have you talked to God about this?" And I said, "No, it's why I came here to talk to you." And he says, "I don't need to hear what you have to say. It's God that needs to hear what you have to say." And he encouraged me to go get a piece of paper and to write down a sin that was in my life. And so I wrote down a sin. And then he encouraged me to write this verse. And this is another one to put in your heart. 1 John 1:9, which says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will purify us from all unrighteousness." And so it's in that moment that I took that pen and paper and I began to write down the sin, the struggle that I just kept doing over and over and over again. I wrote that down, and then I wrote this verse, the full verse out. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will purify us from all unrighteousness." And I began to believe this truth in my life, that the God who said that he is faithful in my life. That the God that is faithful, and he can do the work to purify me from the unrighteousness that is in my life. And he can therefore take on that sin in my life. And guys, this was transformation in my life. You young people that are in this room, there's a lot of young people in this room. I want you to hear this verse out of Psalms 119, verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? How does it happen? By living according to your word. By living to according to your word. You can go to the word of God, and it can change the path you're on, and it can take from what is wrong to what is right, and it can begin to instruct you on how you can live your life. God's word equips us in this way as it changes us to go towards what God desires is right in our life. You know, this is a timely time of year, right, where we begin to make some resolutions. How many of y'all have resolutions this year? Raise your hand. You're making 2026 resolutions. Don't be bashful. I've got mine. I'll tell you mine here in a second. It's a time of year that we tell our friends that, hey, we want to lose 10 pounds. We want to budget every week this year. We want to learn a new hobby or run a marathon. Mine is I want to grow hair on my head. But we can take time to also this year consider the path we're on. Consider the path and the direction we're on and where we are in this road and on this map. And if we've wandered off the ways of God, we need to examine our hearts and find this place where our struggle is. And rather go our own way, we need to find real heart change that takes place when God puts us back on the path that he has for us, puts us back on the path with dealing with our sin and trusting the Lord in it all. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own ways or understandings, but in all of your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." So as we pull back up our roadmap, we've gone from knowing God's word to stopping, from changing now, and now we get this last part, guys, in the church. This is what we need to do. We need to do it. We need to do the word of God. God's word shows us how we can live it out. God's word, as we navigate this, one of the ways that we do this is by spending time with God. And we had these unwrapped Bible verses that we had, and so I was thinking, what do I talk about when it comes to training in righteousness? The verse for tomorrow on December 29th is Psalms 1, 2, and 3. And Psalms 1 is an amazing psalm that speaks about the source to where we find living water, where we find life. Listen to Psalms 1 as it's read. "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the ways that sinners take or sit in the companies of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree that is planted by the streams of living water and which will yield fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, for whatever they do prospers." We must be planted by the streams of living water. We must be planted by the source, which is God's word. When we are planted by the source of God's word, it brings nurture to our body. It brings healthy ways that he wants us to live. It brings out the things that are in darkness. It brings to light the things that need change. And it brings to light the ways in which we should live and follow him. God's word teaches us how to live this life. And guess what, guys? Here's a little cool thing. God wants your life to be lived in abundance, doesn't he? He says the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come so that you may have life abundantly. When I first got into ministry, I needed to know and believe that, and I struggled with it, honestly. I was reading a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality by Peter Scazzaro, an amazing book that kind of walked me through how to have an emotionally healthy spiritual walk with God. And one of those things that he said in his book is he would have each day he would have a daily office. And that daily office was an opportunity to spend time with God. And he quotes this in his book when he says, the daily office takes place each day multiple times. But it's not so much about turning to God to get something from him, but it's turning to God to simply be with him. It's not about getting something from God. It's about spending time with him. And as I reread this to prepare for this sermon, this was convicting for me, guys. This was hard for me. Because I feel like I'm in a season of life where the busyness of toddlers and kids running around and work and all the things that are going on, that man, I just get lost and trying to find time to get something from God. I just need God to give me something. And I am lacking the ability to realize that ministry flows from intimacy, not just activity. That ministry happens when I realize that I need time alone with God. One of the things that I recently saw online and it spoke to me was this Bible Hour app. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but the Bible Hour app is a thing you can put as a widget, that's what they call these things, on your lock screen, and you can click on it. And it gives you a verse that you can reflect and that you can look on. And this verse here, so every hour it changes, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker." So it gives me a word, a verse every hour. And for 1 minute, I can hit the play button up here. And for 1 minute, I can just pause and let this word God speak to me. I found my time praying the scriptures as we've been challenged to do over and over again, just sitting here in that moment and praying over the scriptures. It gives me the opportunity to share it with somebody. It gives me the opportunity to read the full Bible in its context. It gives me a chance to like it, to add it to a memorization, a bookmark, and to even take notes on it. And I have found this time, instead of being distracted and drowned out by the busyness of life, I have found but to let the attraction of God's word reel me back in so that I can spend time with him. Because truly it's in that moment of life that I can find hope for my life and that I can find the intimacy and the time with God that I so desperately want and also need in it. So recently this has convicted me as a husband and father as well, that I am somewhere along this road. We all are somewhere along this road where we're either knowing, stopping, changing, or now doing the word of God. And one of the passages as I think about when it comes to training in righteousness is this verse out of Proverbs 22:6, where it says, train a child in the way that they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train a child up in the ways that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Our job as parents and as parents is to be able to give God's word to our kids. But one, it has to be reflected right here in our lives too. It can't just be, oh, you need the word of God. It's got to be the word of God is for us and in us with. And it's out of that, that a training to our children, a training to others, that we can see God's word. Paul, in his letter to Timothy, he wrote in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he talks about this training when he says this, have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales, but rather train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value in all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Training in godliness is getting on our knees and spending time in God's word. It's allowing God's word to move us and change us. It's allowing God's word to become the very root and anchor in our lives, planted by streams of living water where we can grow. But then he goes on in verse 9, he says this. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in a living God who is Savior to all men, especially for those who believe. Have you placed your life in the Savior's hands? Have you given your life to Jesus? Do you believe that this word of God is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness? Can we just stop for a moment and pray and ask God to speak to us? God, I realize that there are many in this room that we've been walking with you each and every day. And God, how life has changed since you've been a part of the picture. How life has changed the more and more we have dove into your word and have found hope in even the hardest seasons of our life. But God, I also realize that there's others in this room that have not yet done that. And God, I want to take a moment today just to stop and to be able to provide an opportunity for those that might want to say, hey, I'm ready to take that next step and believe in you. You know, we have a problem. We all have this problem with sin. And so right now, I'd like if you are feeling led to pray or to ask God to come into your life, to ask God and say, Lord, will you forgive me of the things that I've done? I know I've gone my own way many times, and I'm sorry for that. Talk to God right now and ask him for your forgiveness. Tell him that you have sin in your life, that you want him to come in and help you with. God knew that we couldn't do it alone. God knew that we couldn't do it on our own power. And so he sent Jesus down to earth. He lived a perfect life. He made no sin. And he was crucified and killed on a cross. And 3 days later, he rose again to life. And it's in that resurrection of life that Jesus died for you. He was your substitute. You deserve the death, but Christ paid it for you. And he paid it all. Thank God right now for that gift that he paid all for your life. And lastly, he says, surrender. Commit to me. And if you're ready today to commit to Jesus, I just would ask you to say, God, I commit to you to be my Lord and Savior and King. And if that was you today, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, if that's you today, if you could just slip up your hand, I would love to. Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, thank you, Lord. I want to celebrate with you because God has done an amazing thing and is going to continue to do an amazing thing in your life. Awesome. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to celebrate with those that have given their life to Christ. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. As we close, I want to go back to the question we began with. What would happen if you went through your life not equipped? And hopefully you've seen through our time today that God's word equips us in every season in our life so that you would be equipped in your job to be able to minister to the people around you, that you'd be equipped in your marriage to maybe confess some things that you've got going on, that you would be equipped in your life to parent your children to say, hey, I'm ready to take the step to train my kids in the ways that they should go, that you would be equipped to be able to disciple and to become walk along someone who's ready to take that next step in their life and follow Jesus, whether it be a neighbor, a coworker, or a friend. May you walk into 2026 feeling equipped for what God has done in and through your life. And may you never say, I was unequipped for my life, because you had the word of God that was spoken to you and through you and for you, and the beautiful thing of where that is. So consider where you are on the map of where God is equipping you in your life. And as we conclude, I want to read this final paragraph that my father wrote to me in his letter. He says, there's a verse in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. It said, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear, be in awe of the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, to serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Son, to do this would be impossible if we tried by ourselves. But God doesn't ask us to do the impossible. He has given us Jesus and the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do this. And as we honor the Lord, he will give us more blessings than we could ever imagine. I love you. I love you, Dad. Let me pray. Father, God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for how you come into our lives and you equip us. You empower us with your Holy Spirit. God, that we don't have to do this life alone. But God, we can walk and step in unison with you each and every day of our lives. I pray that as we leave here and as we step into 2026, that we would do so with the word of God, the breath of God through your lungs spoken to us, and allow it to bring to transformation. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.